song about a man called Goff. Little boy wanted to be top with the same brush. He learned Latin, held his head up high. Hated the liberals, didn't know why. There were reasons. How long have you got? There were always reasons. How long have you got? Little boys on stage tonight. Anthony Hastings doing alright. They both went to the same local Canberra school. Steve was 972, yeah. What a party, big day for both of us. We had reason to party. Hey, big day for both of us. Come over, have dinner with me. We'll play chess and drink claret. Chess and drink claret. Walk slowly down my little street. Can you bring Margaret? Chess and drink claret. This day, Bush Ranger was slaughtered, Goff was betrayed. November 11, you wouldn't survive. Governor General 75, November 11, yeah. Big day for both of us. I said November 11, Ned Kelly died. Shame, Fraser, shame, and we all cried for you, Goff for you, yeah, you. Edward Goff Whitlam, you, Goff for you. Yeah, you, Edward Goff Whitlam. Come over, have dinner with me. We'll play chess and drink claret. Chess and drink claret. Walk slowly down my little street. You bring Margaret. Chess and drink claret. Edward Goff Whitlam, you, Goff for you, yeah, you. Edward Goff Whitlam, you, Goff, yeah, you, Goff, yeah, you. Days of wine and roses, roses, roses. Days of wine and roses. The artists flew in, and all the assholes flew out. All the artists flew in. And all the assholes cried for you, Goff, you, Goff, you, Goff. Edward Goff Whitlam, you, yeah, you, yeah, you, hey, 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 hey.
Very cool, very cool indeed, ladies and gentlemen. That was Conspiracy of One. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Goff?
Very well indeed. Now, I would like to say that song was written about me, but of course that would be a blatant lie because it was written about my eponym, who is, of course, Goff Whitlam. Now, I should actually probably say welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff. And why the Whitlams? Is that a particularly favourite Aussie band, or you just why choose... The Whitlams, besides the fact that I forced you to play that song, which is actually the truth. Why? Do you enjoy the Whitlams as a band?
They're one of my favourite bands. Tim Friedman is one of my favourite songwriters and singers. So just happenstance that you and I met the other day and I played that song because I found out what your name was. I thought, oh, I know a song about Goff.
Very cool indeed. Very cool indeed. Now, Conspiracy of One, it's a bit of an unusual name. Do you want to just tell us why you've gone with that?
Yeah, it's a name because my actual name of Nathan Eggins, unfortunately, isn't a very rock and roll name. So I thought, I've got to call myself something cool and different, and it's a solo project, so Conspiracy of One. And also, you can't have a conspiracy of one. It's two or more people secretly plotting, so it's a bit of a juxtaposed term. And also, it's an album by The Offspring, which is another one of my favourite bands.
I like it. Very cool. Well,
there's a few reasons.
Yeah, lots of good explanations. I dig it. Now, when did you first pick up a guitar?
properly in high school when I was about 15 and been playing ever since.
What was it that sort of drew you in? Why choose the guitar? Because there's a million instruments. Why go with the guitar?
I think guitar's just always been very popular. It's easy to learn. It's promoted by music shops as get your kids into a musical instrument. And I liked it.
Fair enough. And was it easy for you? Is it something that came naturally for you?
Well, guitar is a very easy instrument to learn, hard to master. It just takes a lot of time to get really good, like someone like Tommy Emmanuel. But, I mean, he's been doing it his whole life, so.
And it's something you, like, was it something you were passionate about right from the beginning? You were like, oh, man, this is really cool. I really enjoy this. I want to pursue this. I want to get better. I want to, you know, get amongst it.
Truth be told, I actually first started guitar lessons in primary school because it got me out of class on a Thursday afternoon. I didn't play it for a few years, and then I started again properly in high school, which is when I started singing as well. So I took it very seriously from that point on.
And was it then you thought, I want to make a career out of this? Or was that sort of, at high school, was that your thinking or were you something else?
I always knew that I wanted to make something of it at that point. And it's been varying levels of how much time I've devoted to it over the years. But for about the last 5 or so years, it's been my full-time thing.
Nice. Very cool indeed.
And that's why I'm here today, is to tell people about what I do and why they should care and try and make it a career.
Well, why should they care?
Because I write fun, catchy songs that get you thinking about science.
Wow.
And I'm what's called a science communicator. So it's my job to make science fun and interesting and give you different perspectives you might not have thought of. And I like to do it in a fun, quirky kind of way.
Why science? What's the thing about science that you dig?
I'm just really passionate about it. It's the best way we know of to learn about how the universe works.
Cool. Nice. Well, we will get into your originals a little bit later on because I want to learn more about that. But just for the moment, I am curious to know, when I've seen you play live, you seem to like the more obscure. You don't sort of go down the usual commercial cover route, shall we say. You when you do covers, you like to go a little bit left of center, which is, I think that's a cool thing. You know, it's something a bit different. It makes you stand out, in my opinion. Why do you choose? Is it a personal choice or a deliberate choice? Why do you choose, when you're playing your covers, why do you choose to do things that are a little bit more different?
A lot of what you said applies, and really just I've always wanted to do things a bit differently. I don't want to be the same in a crowd of the same. And I know everyone says that they want to do things differently, but I suppose I'm doing my best to actually walk the talk.
No, you do, man, because like I say, I've heard you play live and you do, that's why I enjoyed listening, because it wasn't the usual stuff that you usually hear. It's something a bit different, which I think is a smart thing, makes you stand out.
I think it puts me in a different group and yeah.
So, take us behind the scenes. Now, obviously, I'm assuming the playing on stage and having, you know, people enjoy what you do is the good part. Mm. What's the shitty part? Like, what's the part of the job that you're like, oh, my God, do I really have to put up with this?
How long have you got? I'll try not to be too cynical, but I guess the overarching thing would just be the amount of years and money and effort and energy and thinking that you put into something to not get an immediate feedback or immediate benefit from it. Predominantly, I'm just a very stubborn person, so I'm going to keep working at this until I'm old and grey, and then I'm going to keep working at it some more. And I guess I just, cliche, but I gotta believe in myself and just keep doing it because it's what I want to do. But it is hard when you don't have that immediate kind of success or that feedback of, oh, yes, I am doing the right thing. And it does come along, but it can be difficult at times to keep that momentum going.
Now, I remember back in the days when I used to do stand-up comedy, one of the things that I hated about doing stand-up comedy was the politics behind the scenes, like with the other comics or the bookers and all that sort of stuff. In your music game, because I've never actually asked another muso this, in your music game, is there the same sort of deal? Is there politics behind the scenes with bookers and other musos and clashes and backstab? Because comedians are bastards and there's backstabbing and it's like an episode of The Bold and the Beautiful. I shit you not. Is there a lot of politics at play in what you do?
Honestly, I think it's just a very human thing. You put 10 humans in a room and within an hour they're going to be at least two separate groups in some way or another. It's just innate for humans to be tribal. And so I think you could probably apply that to any group, really.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And so we'll flip it around because we don't want to be negative. We want to be positive.
We do.
What is the best part about your gig? Like what makes you keep coming back for more and more and more?
That's a great question.
Thank you very much. I don't have many of them, but
it's just something that brings me so much joy, and to be able to do what I love to do and see that it brings happiness to others. I know, again, that's cliche, but if I can bring other people enjoyment, and then with my specific way that I want to do it, with encouraging interest in science, if I can open people's minds to the scientific method and to critical thinking and help them in some way, that's it for me. That's what I want to do.
Cool. Cool. Now let's talk about your originals. Your songwriting process. Where does a song germinate for you?
I suppose I consume a lot of scientific and critical thinking and skeptic media, so I tend to just come across concepts and ideas and think, oh, that'd make a great song. In fact, the song I'm going to play in a little bit, I can go through a little bit of that before we play it, and you'll see a bit of the idea of how those songs come about.
And what comes first, the lyrics or the words? It's an old joke, I apologise.
Usually the music, and the lyrics come last.
Is it like a melody thing for you? You get like a hook in your head and then you want to put that down and then you put words to it?
Often the hook comes first. That's usually my initial part. I'll go, oh, that'd be a great hook, and I'll write it in my head and then go, yeah, all right. And then let's extrapolate the rest of the song from there.
And do you get a bit of self-doubt? Like, so you finish the song and you listen back to it and you're like, oh, man, that's really shithouse. Or are you like, nah, man, I really dig that. That's really cool. Like, what's in your brain when you finish the song?
Self-doubt, I think, is a prerequisite for being a musician, actually. This song in particular that I'm going to play soon, I've had, I suppose, self-doubt, but not in a negative way, in that I wrote this song and I saw it as this strange, weird, quirky thing. I thought, oh, surely people won't like it. I like it, but I couldn't see how they would connect to it, because I thought this is just this little weird song, and you'll see why. But this song that I'm going to play has been the one that people have really latched onto more than anything else, and it's really turned me around to, again, just believe in myself. Just do it.
No.
And if I'm doing it that in a way that is right to me, people will get on board.
So are you a big fan of please yourself first and hopefully people will follow?
I'm learning to be.
Okay.
I'm learning to be.
No, because I think that's important. Like, I mean, obviously with Beer Nuts Productions, we make films, I write them. And when I write a script, I'm always, does this make me laugh? And if it makes me laugh, I go, well, fuck it, surely it's going to make somebody else laugh. That's kind of my theory when I'm writing a script. So I sort of write something that I would enjoy watching, and then hopefully other people will. That's sort of my theory when I'm writing a film script. So, yeah, are you a little bit similar?
Well, actually, up until more recently, I was always trying to please others and play by, I suppose, the rules of what society and the media and the music industry say is success. And it's not until more recently that I've took a step back and thought, no, you know what, I'm just going to do what works for me, and whatever success comes from that.
Have you found that more helpful?
Yeah, mental health-wise, absolutely.
Well, that's some good advice for folks out there, perhaps, to, you know, back themselves in and just, you know.
Yeah, to redefine what success means to you individually, I think, is the biggest thing.
Ah, cool. I dig it. Now, we are going to hear your original in just a moment. Before we do, where can people find you if they want to learn more about Conspiracy of One? Where can they go? What can they do?
Well, conveniently, I have named my website and all my social media under the same name. So it's Conspiracy of One. And if you go to that, conspiracyofonesolo.com, because it's a solo project, yes. That's got everything.
So we Google Conspiracy of One and go to conspiracyofonesolo.com and we can hook up to all your socials and all that sort of good stuff and
that's the one.
Enjoy everything that you have to offer.
Yes, I've got a lot of music out already. I've got more music planned for next year and beyond. I've got some other fun, interesting projects. I'm working on a board game as well. It's not related to the music, but it's again, something a bit sciencey and quirky and makes you think. And so that board game will hopefully be out next year.
Cool, man.
We'll be out next year, but hopefully early next year. We'll see. I'm still working on it.
No, it's really cool, man. Super cool. So before we get into it, I want to thank you for coming in today. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And of course, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly review. Rate and review 5 stars is always good. And of course, Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. Now, to take us out, can you tell us the name of the song, what it's about, and then just rip straight in?
I can do that, amazingly. So this song, it's about the Fermi paradox, which, are you familiar with this particular one?
Well, of course I am, but the listeners may not be, so...
The Fermi paradox, the very basics of it is we've got all of this space out in the universe, and just purely statistically, we should have seen some evidence of alien life already, and we haven't. We haven't seen any credible scientific evidence of alien life. And so the paradox is, where are all the aliens? And then I thought, that'd be a great hook for a song. And I also thought it might be interesting to ask that question, where are all the aliens, from their perspective. So the song is called We're All Aliens, Baby. And this is it. So, yeah, thanks for having me on. Thanks for listening.
My name is Shuka, I live on the planet Zog, where the tentacles roam under the 7 suns in the sulfur dioxide smog. There's just one thing that bothers me more than hunger, disease, or war. Are we alone or in this empty space? Is there someone worth searching for? I stare into the open sky and I wonder, where are all the aliens? Could I be the only one? Ooh.
My name is Kemi, I live on the moon of Star. We orbit our planet, which orbits the sun, which orbits the galactic core. And if we don't destroy ourselves in the next few 100 years, we'll venture out into the universe before our chance disappears. I stare into the open sky and I wonder, where are all the aliens? Could I be the only one? Ooh. My name is Notho from the planet Rum. My designation is XJ22 from Sector 1.
My name is Mila from the rings of Akaton.
I don't have a name and I don't know where I'm from.
Are we all that's really here in this Milky Way? Could there be a billion faces in a billion places, all with the same to say?
and whether we someday meet or are destined to exist on our own. We're all so far yet so close to the questions we pose alone. My name is Nathan. I live on the planet Earth. I hope one day we'll come together and prove what we are worth. I stare into the open sky and